Joe presents TKO, together with 32 Red.
Welcome to TKO on Joe, together with 32 Red. We're a podcast and YouTube show with you every Thursday. This week, we're coming to you from a live press conference, Match and Boxing in association with Top Rank, ahead of a big unification clash at £135. Vasyl Lomachenko, the WBA and WBO belt holder, takes on Britain's gold medalist from the Olympic Games in 2012, Luke Campbell. WBC green belt on the line at £135 too. One man will walk away with all three belts on Saturday night. I am so pleased to say that Carl Frampton is back with us, because we've missed you for so long. Someone commented on one of the YouTube videos. He said, is it true that Carl has quit the show? And I said, absolutely not.
Is it true?
So,
where does that come from? Like,
I don't know, mate, just because maybe they'd
just because it wasn't on, but like, someone said Frampton's quit the show.
Yeah,
someone
made
that lie up.
Exactly, yeah. Someone's made the lie up. I quashed the lie, and it's good to have you back. So for whoever it was that was asking, Carl is back with us. How was your holiday?
It was great.
The most tan I've ever seen you, by the way.
Very tan. 2 days ago was a lot more tan as well.
Yeah.
I died down a fair bit. But a great holiday, and I feel like I'm happy that I came back not too fat from
an all-inclusive holiday.
And it was too hot to eat, man. It was 45 degrees, 46 degrees sometimes. So. But it was good. A good break. I needed it as well after the disaster that happened previously.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm glad you kind of, things seem like they're okay, and we'll come on to that a bit later on. Let's talk about the fight on Saturday night. Luke Campbell, Vasyl Lomachenko. We saw their head-to-head a little bit earlier. Luke's got a big height and reach advantage. I think the only two southpaws Lomachenko fought, Gary Russell Jr. in Game and Rigondo, much, much smaller fighters than himself.
Yeah.
Of course, you know the man that's going to be in his corner on Saturday night, Shane McGuigan. How important is he potentially going to be on Saturday?
Well, any coach would be very important. I think that the way is a game plan to come up and beat Lomachenko, it's going to be difficult for anyone. We've seen that he's been beaten before by Orlando Salido, but the style that beat him, first of all, he weighed in, I think, was he
seven pounds overweight,
which he purposely done because he wanted to use that to his advantage. And then he was dirty, a lot of low blows, and the fight was close, but that was a different type of style. And I think if that fight ever happened again, Lomachenko would have worked him out and reversed that decision. That's the style to beat someone like Lomachenko, or to try and beat him, or to get close to beating him. But Luke Campbell doesn't have that. He's an out-and-out boxer. He's a tall, he's range, he's southpaw. I think it may be tricky for a while, a couple of rounds, but I think Lomachenko will stop him in 8 or 9 rounds.
He sort of likes to gather data early, doesn't he, Lomachenko? He'll just work you out. He'll let you do what you're going to do, throw some feints, see how you react. And then it's the sort of almost the gears he goes up through in rounds 3, 4, and 5, and the speed he goes through them seems to be unlike anything we've seen in modern times.
It's amazing to watch. You look at his style, and most times when you see one side of fights, Radio Raheem, do you hear that?
He is quite late. You can hear him from, he's probably broadcasting from the United States.
But when you have a style like Lomachenko that is so dominant against other fighters, and he's winning fights and they're pretty one-sided, other fights like that, you kind of switch the TV off, or you're not paying attention because it's so one-sided. Lomachenko, you just keep watching. He's always dominating opponents, and he's winning fights pretty comfortably, but you just can't take your eyes off him. And we should be privileged as boxing fans that we're witnessing this. I'm honoured to be sitting ringside here, like, watching this fight. I cannot wait to see it. I've never been as excited about being at a fight ever before, and I've been to some big fights. I think we're seeing an all-time great, someone that's going to be spoken the same breath as guys like Ray Leonard, as guys like Ali, as guys like Mike Tyson in 30, 40, 50 years' time.
Well, you got to catch up with him earlier on today. Let's have a listen to what Vasyl Lomachenko said when he caught up with Carl earlier on this morning.
Hello, Vasyl.
Hi.
Thanks very much for coming on the show. I know you're pretty busy, so we'll get straight to it. You have fought in the UK before as an amateur. You won the Olympic Games here. You've been to some big fights in the UK. Your friend Alexander Usyk. What is it going to be like to make a professional debut here in London?
You know, I think a lot of people come to O2 Arena, a lot of fans who love boxing. I think it will be a very unbelievable atmosphere.
Okay. You said that you want to become undisputed at 135. Is the plan then after that to move to 140?
No. Maybe after that I come back, go down 130.
Really?
Yeah, 130? Because it's my this weight class is more comfortable for me, and it's more easy for me, because 135 it's not my weight, and as you see, all my opponents they are bigger than me. Yeah. They have bigger reach, so for me comfortable it's 130.
Okay, I'm sure you've seen that Floyd Mayweather has said that he's going to wait until you get old to allow Gervonta Davis to fight you. How do you feel about them comments?
I don't care, because I know myself, I know my goal, I know my dream, and this is my life, and I want to come back 130 and fight with Gervonta Davis and show for all people who talking about my age.
Yeah. Finally, in my opinion and everyone's opinion, you have the best feet work in boxing.
Thank you.
I look at young kids, and when they ask me for advice, I say, don't copy Lomachenko, he's too good. What would your advice be to a young kid on how to improve footwork?
You know, my opinion, you need train every day, and you need use different sports. Mm. It's a football, it's all sports where you use your feet.
Yeah.
So if you train different sports, it's help you in the boxing.
Okay. And when we're a busy man, so that's everything. That's all the questions. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
So Lomachenko there indicating, if all goes well over the next 12 months, that he'll be looking to move back down rather than go up. I mean, we saw the head-to-head, he looked very, very small up against Luke Campbell, so really we're seeing 135 as his limit. I guess great to get an opportunity to speak to him. What did you make of his comments about going down and setting up a few fights there?
It was really interesting. I kind of earwigged in that interview that John Denham was doing as well with Bob Arum, and he said that they talk about potentially a fight at some point down the stage at 126, back down to 126 for Lomachenko against Inoue, which would be,
wow,
what a fight that would be.
Imagine in sort of Tokyo or somewhere like that. Somewhere,
yeah,
over there.
Of course, and what an exciting fight. But I can't see anyone in the round in divisions beating Lomachenko. I know he's a great fighter, he's coming up through the weights, but I don't even think someone like him, who's being feared in them sort of weight divisions by a lot of people, I don't think he has a chance against Lomachenko.
Well, you think how good Rigondo was and Gary Russell Jr. is, and those guys at 126. I mean, I know Rigondo came up a couple of weights to fight him, but they couldn't get anywhere near him. Size was a factor, and when you're as good as he is and you move as well as he does, I think a lot of those other attributes that those guys have are negated by just the wizardry that he displays.
Yeah, that wizardry, if that's a word, that is the word that I would use for Lomachenko. He's a quality fighter, and he's got a completely unique style. Like, you can't really compare him to any fighter that's ever been before.
No.
Because there's no one with a style like him. I just love watching him. Really love watching him. I'd love to spar him, you know. Just to see if I could hit him.
Yeah. Luke has had obviously Josh Taylor for sparring, who's just the weight above, but again, a very slick southpaw. There's lots of combinations. You're never going to be able to replicate somebody like Lomachenko because of his uniqueness, but that's not bad preparation.
No, I think that you're never going to be able to completely replicate someone, but I think that is probably, in terms of any sparring you could get anywhere in the world, that's probably ideal preparation for Lomachenko. Josh Taylor is a quality fighter. He's similar attributes to Lomachenko. Not the same type of fighter completely, but I don't know another fighter who is as similar to Lomachenko in the world.
Egas Klimas summed it up very well at the press conference. He said, this is also a good show of solidarity, two promoters working together. This will be the third show Eddie and Bob have done together this year. Krolo Lomachenko, of course, and then Hooker Ramirez, and now this on Saturday night. An important sort of signpost to other promoters and fans of the sport that the way to get these big fights made secure the biggest and best matchups in the sport is for the top promoters to work
together.
Absolutely,
and it makes sense for them all to work together. They can make the big fights that the fans want to see, and boxers want to see, and boxers want to be involved in. They can make them if they work together. And I think it's starting to happen a little bit more often, where the top promoters are starting to work together. Apart from a few, I don't want to mention anyone, but there's a few that kind of like to do it their own way still. But hopefully
hopefully the tide's changing and we'll start to see all the promoters working together to make boxing what it should be and exciting, the exciting sport that it used to be.
So big fight on Saturday night then, and the other man on the other side of the promotional table is Bob Arum, flown all over the world this year, over 50 years as a boxing promoter. Of course, he sits behind Vasyl Lomachenko this Saturday night, and Carl and I were very privileged to catch up with him earlier on this morning. Well, Bob, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you here. Carl, good to see you back as well.
Thanks,
and
man.
I didn't realise this is the first time that you two have met, is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah, it is.
I was going to be at his fight in Philadelphia when the freakiest accident in the history, in my history, occurred when a building fell down on his hand. Mm. I mean, something really, anything can happen in this sport.
Mm. Although I think you said earlier you haven't seen anything quite like that in 50
never,
years.
Never, ever happened like that.
If it didn't happen to me, I wouldn't have believed it. Mm. I would have said, bullshit, he's lying.
Yeah.
All right, how is it then?
I seen a specialist last night and it's on the mend. So it was a pretty clean break. He reckons 3 or 4 weeks, probably 4 weeks, and I can start back light punching again. So I'd be looking to get out hopefully before the end of the year, and this man beside me is going to help me, I think.
Yeah, we either will get it in before the end of the year, probably the beginning of January. Maybe the first or second week in January, we have a date that we've tentatively penciled Carl in for.
Do you have any idea who that would be against?
That's over my pay grade.
Okay.
You know, a very, very credible fighter, because I think, I know there are many opportunities for Carl, whether it's at featherweight or more likely at 130, because we have under our banner at top rank two of the 130-pound champions, Herring, the Fighting Marine, and Belshirt, who's fighting a tough fight with Sosa, who was on the undercard of Carl's fight in Philadelphia.
Mm. Is 130 pounds going to be too much of a stretch for you size-wise? Do you think that would be okay?
I'm used to, look, the guys are bigger. They are bigger than me, but I've been fighting guys that are bigger than me my whole career. So I'm not, although I'm short, I'm not a small featherweight. I'm pretty compact. And it's not easy to do featherweight, so if an opportunity came up for me at 130, it gives me a chance to become a three-weight world champion and the only man on the island of Ireland to ever do it, which would be amazing.
Obviously, we know Valdez has vacated the WBO and moved up.
He's coming up to the 130 as well, exactly.
Right.
And eventually, if both of them are successful, we can do a unification at 130, which would be a monster fight.
Mm. Because, of course, being the WBO champ, he will be automatically, if he wants to, Jamal Herring's mandatory. Herring, I heard him talking on a podcast a few weeks ago, said he doesn't think Valdez wants to fight him and he would favour fighting Bichelt, which would, of course, leave the door open for you to fight Herring. And, as you say, potentially the winners could meet later on.
Absolutely.
Next year.
We'll work that out so that each of them, Frampton and Valdez, fight a champion and then perhaps meet later on in the year for a monster fight.
Sounds good to me, mate. Sounds good to me.
Good to me, too.
So, Bob, you have been in boxing for over 50 years.
Yeah, a lot over 50.
I think I'm right in saying the first fight you worked on in a promotional capacity was Ali against Chavalo in 66.
Yeah, March of 66.
Oh, he knows the month. Wow. 50 years later, what is it that keeps you getting out of bed in the morning?
Well, you know, boxing is a great sport, and it's a great sport because it's an individual sport. The sportsmen in the sport of boxing are on their own. When they have trainers and so forth, but when the bell rings, you know, they're on their own. Mm. And it's a wonderful thing to promote, and it's a wonderful sport to watch. So if I didn't like it, if I didn't get immersed in the sport, at my age, I wouldn't be doing it. Mm. But for me, you know, I meet Carl, so now, hey, I'm going to help with Carl's career. And I was in his hometown of earlier this month for Mick Conlon's fight in a great, great atmosphere. It's fun. This summer, I've done assisted in a fight promotion in Kazakhstan with the MTK that we work very, very closely with. And then I was in Osaka, Japan for a middleweight championship fight. And then Belfast, and now here. I mean, isn't that wonderful? You can go see the world and meet all different kinds of people and realize how similar, even though we're different, we're really similar. It's not just the Brits and the Irish and the Americans, but it's the Japanese and the Kazakhs. Everybody has a lot of similarities.
Mm. You've done a fair bit of traveling with your career, amateur and pro, as well.
I've been lucky enough as an amateur. I'm still pretty young, and it's something that I appreciate, the traveling. I've traveled all over the world as an amateur, and I've been lucky enough to fight mainly in this side of the water as a pro, but I've fought a few times in the States, East Coast and West Coast, so I love to travel, and I love to see people, and I love to do new things, so boxing is something that has allowed me to do that.
Mm. Speaking of a man that loves to travel, Vasyl Lomachenko headlines on Saturday night at the O2. I think the third or fourth time he's boxed here, three times as an amateur. One man walks away on Saturday with three of the belts at lightweight. We've had two undisputed champions in the last 2 years. Terence Crawford, 140 pounds. Vasyl Lomachenko stablemate, Alexander Usyk, at cruiserweight.
Who's Lomachenko's best friend.
Best friend, right. And, of course, trained by his father. Everything in terms of the path that these guys are on Saturday at lightweight seems to be moving towards an undisputed clash early next year. Does it feel like that's what's going to happen to you?
Well, you have to understand, and I'm going to tell you the truth. One of the smartest people that I've ever met in boxing is Loma's father, Anatoly. This guy is an absolute genius as a trainer and as a tactician. And he sat me down with an interpreter, because he doesn't speak much English, and he plotted out the course that he wanted Loma to take. You know, Loma was the WBO champion, and then he fought Linares for the BA. And then the question is, because Loma's goal was to win all four titles, who he would go for, Comey or Campbell? And my idea was to put Campbell with Teofimo Lopez and have Loma go after Comey. And the father said no. There was no way, the father said, that Teofimo Lopez would beat Campbell. No way.
Wow.
And he thought there was a chance that Lopez could beat Comey, and a Lopez fight against Loma would be a major pay-per-view fight in the United States.
Mm.
So I can't take credit for this bet. The credit goes to Vasily's father, who is an absolute, for me, it is such a pleasure talking with that man.
Mm.
It's interesting that he thought he wouldn't beat beat Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's highly touted, isn't he, Teofimo Lopez in the States, one of Dave McWhorter's fighters.
Exactly correct. Yeah. And he's a very, very good fighter, and he fights for us. And Anatoly saw something that he said it would be too dangerous to put Lopez in with Campbell, which meant to me that he has tremendous respect for Campbell.
Yeah, it's a very interesting. Lopez and Comey are on a collision course. The rumoured date is December 14th at Madison Square Garden. Is that a confirmed date at this point?
I don't know what confirmed means. That's on our board. It is confirmed. We hope to have... Let me explain December 14th. we have in the United States, we're crazy about college football. And on December 14th this year, they will be awarding, it's an annual thing, the best college football player. It gets a huge television rating. And it's done in New York. And a few blocks from Madison Square Garden, where people can walk over from that awards ceremony to come to Madison Square Garden for a big fight. So we are planning a tremendous triple header in Madison Square Garden. Mick Conlon will be one of the fights, maybe against the Russian if he's recovered. That would be interesting. And Terrence Crawford, hopefully, will be on that card. And Comey and Lopez. Big, big event.
Yeah,
that's what we're planning for December 14th. It's the last show of the year, and it traditionally, whether it's December 7th or 14th, depending on when the Heisman is awarded, gets the biggest ratings for boxing.
Great stuff. Let's talk a little bit about rivalries in boxing promotion over the years. You and Don King famously were head-to-head for so many of those years in the golden eras of boxing. These days, some of those promotional divides can get in the way of, certainly in the UK, there is a line drawn and fighters don't really tend to step over it. You and Eddie have worked together a couple of times this year, Hooker Ramirez, which turned out to be a great event. You'll work together again on Saturday night. How important is it going forwards that promoters extend that olive branch and decide to work together for the good of sport?
Well, it's idiocy for promoters not to work together. Makes absolutely no sense. Now, it's true that King and I were tremendous rivals. But King and I knew enough to work together to make big fights, whether it was Leonard and Duran or De La Hoya and Trinidad and lesser fights. And the thing, no matter what we thought of each other, we could always figure out what the other guy was doing so we could play off each other. So when the fight happened, it was even bigger than it would ordinarily have been. So that was, you know, King was very, very clever. And while we had a dislike to some extent for each other, we knew when the time came to work together. Now, with a lot of these promoters now, it's different. And the reason it's different is because promoters now, for our top rank, we have an exclusive arrangement with ESPN in the United States. Eddie Hearn's Matchroom has an exclusive arrangement in the United States with DAZN, which is a new streaming service. So it is more difficult to do fights together. But we have found a way not to interfere with each other and yet work together. Let me give you an example. Lomachenko is one of the premium fighters on ESPN. When Crolla somehow became the mandatory to Lomachenko, Eddie could have forced us to purse bid, could have maybe outbid us, put the fight on DAZN. The guy who runs DAZN now is a good friend of ours, John Skipper, and he wouldn't have any of that. So Eddie got more money than he deserved for Crolla, but were able to make that fight on ESPN. Now this fight with Campbell and Lomachenko, instead of going to war, we figured out how to do it. And the way we did it is Eddie would have the rights for England, plus the lot, put the fight on in England, but the fight would be televised in the United States on ESPN Plus. So you can work it out. But I think the difficulty we've had is with PBC, with Heyman. Heyman doesn't like to work together with any promoter. But we're going to be working together for the Fury-Wilder Championship and the rematch, both fights having been signed starting next year, early next year. So maybe that will break the ice and that will lead to the ability to put together in the welterweight division the fight that everybody wants to see, his Spence against Bud Crawford.
Who do you think wins that fight?
It's a difficult one to call. Two of my favourite fighters on the planet at the minute, along with the man that we're here to see at the weekend as well, Lomachenko. Mm-hmm. So that's one of them fights where I think I probably changed my mind 20 times. So I'll leave it until closer to the date and then I'll pick one. But it's right down the middle for me.
Mm. Bob, talking a lot of sense about, you know, working together in promotional sense. We've seen Billy Joe Saunders recently take the move over to Matchroom. Rumours that Callum Smith is maybe touting offers from other promoters as well because he's not happy. Has it ever affected you as a fighter being on one side of the promotional divide? And do you remember any opportunities that maybe you weren't able to?
Well, it took a pretty long time to make the Quigg fight.
Yeah.
And the Quigg fight for me, it turned into, it was a unification fight when it eventually happened, but so it probably worked out well. It should have been a fight for the British title. I was talking about fighting Scott Quigg for quite a long time. Mm. Apart from that, not really, no. I haven't been affected too much by it.
Were the negotiations between Cyclone and Eddie, were they difficult at the time?
I think they were, yeah. I wasn't involved in the negotiations, but they, from what I was getting back, seemed to be difficult. There was a lot of breakdowns in negotiations. And the stuff even... The Santa Cruz fights, well, that was another example of me not, the things not working out how they should have for me. I fought him once. I fought him straight away in the rematch, and we're still waiting on the rubber match, which I don't think will ever happen now.
Be nice though, wouldn't it? It would be nice. Bob, you've known Eddie for a number of years.
He was young. I worked with his father.
Yeah.
Eddie was a little guy, young guy then. Not little, he was always a tall kid, but he was a young guy, so I've known Eddie for a long time.
Mm. What do you make of him as a man, as a promoter?
Well, I think it would be inappropriate for me to judge. And he's a good man, but his problem has been that he went over to the United States. And like a lot of people who come to the United States, they emulate the top guy in the United States, the president. So Eddie has picked up a lot of traits of Trump. He says a lot of stuff that's absolutely outrageous, like Trump. I always have felt that Eddie would have been better off when he came to the United States if Obama had been president. So... he would have spoken in a lot more reasonable way. But, you know, Eddie has become, to a large extent, everybody laughs at him.
The one thing about Eddie you can say is that he'll give as good as he gets and he will take a joke. So you can put it on Eddie a bit and he's got a sense of humour.
Well, he does. The best example of that was when my good friend Tommy Coyle pulled his pants down in a hotel lobby in Boston.
Well, you're not getting away with that again with Frank Warren, for example.
No, I don't think so.
Not a chance.
But he done it. And I
what
remember,
about Frank?
Well, Tommy Coyle, Carl's stablemate, yeah. Pulled Eddie's shorts down at an airport on video a few months ago. I don't know if you've seen
it. It was a hotel lobby and it was all over the internet. And yeah. It was just before Tommy was fighting on one of Eddie's bills. And I remember thinking at the time...
That's a risk.
This is a big risk. But Eddie took it well.
He did take it well.
Yeah, Frank is a good guy. Because I had lunch with Frank yesterday in a restaurant at Mayfair. And we started at 1 o'clock. And then some lawyer of Frank's came over. And we didn't end the lunch until 6 o'clock.
Really?
Telling stories. Yeah.
Frank gets a bit of stick. Frank, I have nothing but good things to say about Frank Warren. He's been very good to me, and I've always got on pretty well with him.
Mm. And obviously key to your link-up with Bob.
Yeah, link-up with Bob as well. And MTK were the main reason with the link-up with Bob. Obviously, Top Rank and MTK are working pretty closely now, so I'm very lucky and privileged to be in the position I am, considering I lost my last fight. It was a good fight, but I lost it. I lost it pretty convincingly. So to come out of that
and link up with Top Rank, who in my opinion are the biggest promotional outfit on the planet. I'm pretty lucky.
Good stuff. Well, fingers crossed for kind of a better start to next year than this one's been.
Well, this was the freakiest thing ever.
Wasn't it, just? So, Bob, it is the time of the show which we always put upon our guests to do the 32-second challenge with 32 Red. This is Bob Arum. So I'm going to read you a list of words, and I want you to say the first thing that comes to mind.
After each word.
After each word.
Okay.
Okay. Muhammad Ali.
The greatest of all time.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
A hell of a fighter, great man, great. I mean, it was a pleasure promoting him, and it's a pleasure knowing, you know, being with him.
Boxing promotion.
Boxing promotion is an art. It really is. It seems easy, and people go into it all the time and fall on their ass.
Floyd Mayweather.
Good, good defensive fighter. Floyd, we promoted Floyd for 10.5 years. Floyd had an idea of how he could promote himself, which I was just too old to understand, and Floyd was right. And he hit that urban market, made a lot of money.
Manny Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao, terrific man, great, great fighter, tremendous talent, fighting heart, should retire because he's going to be president of his country, and you don't want the guy to be punch drunk.
Don King.
Don King was a great, great rival, a terrific promoter, a guy who caused excitement any place he went. But he was and always has been a scoundrel.
And finally, the sport of boxing.
Sport of boxing is a great, great sport. Great young men and now women who give their all. There's no excuse, you know, in American football, in your football, which we call soccer, you can always blame a teammate when you screw up. But in boxing, you can only blame yourself.
Bob Arum, absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining
Thanks.
Us. Cheers. So Bob Arum, 88 years of age this year, over 50 years in the game as a boxing promoter. And it's an unforgiving business, but he doesn't seem to have become disillusioned with it at any point. Still seems to have the love for the game that he had when he started.
That's the impression I got when we spoke to him. He can tell that he loves the sport. Sounds like he loves boxers, and he understands how tough a sport it is. He's been in it for a very long time. As you said, he's coming 88 years old and he's still travelling all over the world. He's in Kazakhstan recently. He's now in London. He was just back from a holiday in the Bahamas, I think he told us.
Japan early this year as well, I think.
He obviously loves the sport, and in my opinion, he's still the top promoter in the game.
He's very much a guy that I think Eddie Hearn looks up to. Doesn't really have much choice. It's not often you see Eddie sort of put in his place by somebody, because he's a man that's good with words, but I think you have to respect somebody that's been in the game. Eddie was talking to us earlier and saying it was a kind of an open press conference where they were saying what's your favourite moment, and he was saying Darren Barker's world title was one of my favourite personal moments, and they said, Bob, what was yours? And he said, well, probably a thriller in Manila, I think. and Eddie just said, well, what more can you really say? You know, to that.
Nah, he's very wise, he's very clever, he's completely switched on, and obviously you just have to respect. If you disrespect someone of Bob Arum's stature, then it's not going to go down pretty well for you. So he's admired all over the world. I'm lucky to be working with him now at the latter stage of my career. And Bob Arum, he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best to ever do it. He's promoted some of the biggest names in world boxing. And I could just listen to him all day.
Yeah, me
too. Stories are amazing.
Elsewhere on Joe this week, you may remember earlier on this summer, former England rugby star James Haskell announced he was hanging up the boots. This week on House of Rugby, he announced he was moving to the sport of MMA.
For years, I've been doing wrestling, bits of jiu-jitsu, bits of boxing, everything else like that. I've always done that. I've really enjoyed it. I was going to do the training anyway. And then when the Bellator opportunity came across, I said, you know what? I'd love to test myself. I'd love to see, you know, am I tough? Am I not tough? You know, what's the story? And I think that all the coaches from Shoot Fighters, I sat down with them, I talked to them about it. I said, listen, what's your vibe? Am I mad? And they felt that there was some real mileage in it. So I've just thrown myself into their hands. You know, I'm already training pretty much 3-4 times a week already.
Are you?
You know, by the time I get into the cage, will be dictated by kind of Bellator and by what my coaches at Shoot Fighters say and whether I'm ready. That kind of stuff's out of my hand. It's in this world, I've kind of gone back to being kind of an academy player, really. I'm do as I'm told. I don't really have much of a, you know, input. But everything about this was to make sure that I, you know, go on another journey, really. I think what an exciting chapter.
The lightweight picture seems to be unfolding. 135 pounds here, Fimio Lopez and Richard Comey. He's confirmed now he's going to be on December 14th.
Yeah.
The winner will fight the winner. And ultimately next year we should, all things being equal, have a lightweight undisputed world champion.
Yeah, which we don't see very often in any weight division, someone owning all the belts. And if there's anyone in any division that I think will do it, it's probably Vasily Lomachenko. Mm. He's a quality fighter. I can't speak highly enough of him. I love watching him. I think that the way he's went about his business, the way he does things, he's a character, he's funny, he's personable, he speaks well to the press, but he can fight. And I'm just excited. I think he's going to need a fight division. I think he'll do it in the next two fights.
Well, listen, mate, if he does and he goes back down to 126 pounds, we found your next opponent, didn't we?
I think I'll be retired by then.
Yeah, I think not a bad shout. Carl, great to have you back, mate. Thanks for your time today. And thank you at home for watching TKO on Joe together with 32 Red. And we will see you again, as always, next week.
You've been listening to TKO on Joe together with 32 Red.